Pete, I feel like it's been forever since I've seen you, but it's just been a week. But it feels like a very long time.
Every day that goes past and you're not in my life, CC, I wonder what the point is.
Oh, you make me happy. You know what? I love that. You chat so much shit, but it makes me happy.
It's not shit. You genuinely are. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You've become one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Namaste to you.
Oh, we're doing a new one.
New one,
Namaste.
namaste. You have to clap when you do it now.
Clap and bow.
Yeah,
Namaste.
namaste, like
Do you
that.
do it in three stages?
Yeah,
Namaste.
namaste, yeah. And if we can
Like
get
it.
it in sync 1 week, then we're epic. We're epic anyway, but we're going to be like the best epic.
Right, this is going to be the first test then. So one, two, three, Namaste, yeah?
Okay, ready?
Right, ready? One, two, three.
Namaste.
Okay, all right, we'll try that again next week.
Do you think we're a bit bored in lockdown? Do you think that's what's happening?
I genuinely do. And the worst thing is for anyone listening is that next week, the chances are me and Cece probably will call each other and practice this so that we can prove that we can do it. Ourselves enough over the weeks, I think we can at least clap in time.
If you're wondering what the hell you're listening to, this is FUBAR Radio, and this is the dating show. And Pete and I, we have lovely conversations each week. And this week we're going to be talking, I love this subject, about sober dating. And this is going to be with a very good friend of mine called Emily, who I will intro when she comes on. So Pete, I just wanted to ask you, just in a snippet, nutshell, do you think you could sober date?
I struggle to sober live. So, dating, I think I could do it and I have done it, in all honesty. I could and I have, because I went on a date once with someone that didn't drink. But I enjoy drinking a lot, so I would prefer to drink.
Nice. Okay. So, well, I'm going to ask you a bit more about that, but I love our dating news this week. So, weird and wonderful dating news. Do you want to crack on with which one you'd prefer?
Shall I go? Well, do you know what? We seem to have a theme every week at the minute with the dating
Yeah.
news, and it's how the fuck you catch a cheat.
Yes.
So this week's weird and wonderful dating news is a woman who discovers that her husband is cheating through a Tesco club card vouchers. I think last week or the week before we had someone cheating through Fitbit. We found
Yeah.
out that someone was cheating through Fitbit. This week it's Tesco club card vouchers. So a married couple share a Tesco club card account. They had a card each so the husband could use it while he was away on business for petrol and other necessities. And every quarter they get the vouchers through the post with discounts off different products, which is how these club card things work. Have you got a club card?
I have got a club card, yes.
I haven't. And I should always, I've got about 100 different, anyway, that's a different story. They frequently receive vouchers for items such as washing powder and wine, but every now and then there'll be vouchers for discounts off Durex, condoms, and lube, and things like that. When the wife questioned her husband, he laughed it off and blamed it on the computer systems. But she had a gut feeling that something wasn't right, so she checked his company car, something she rarely looked in. When she opened the glove box, she found a stash of condoms and lube.
I feel a bit sorry for her. That makes me sad.
Well, I was expecting a little bit more evidence. Why are you laughing at
No,
me
go
already?
on. Let's see your response.
I was expecting a little bit more evidence of cheating. Now, condoms and lube, if you use those to pleasure yourself, that is called a posh wank. So maybe he was just posh wanking in his.
Hold on. Rewind. For the people out there that don't know, i.e. me, I don't have a willy. I'd like to know, describe in detail what a posh wank is.
Well, there are different types of wank.
Right.
A poser's wank is when you have a wank in front of a mirror.
Good. I'm going to make note of this. Good. Yep. Poser's
Yep.
wank.
A posh wank is when you use, lube or a condom or something just to jazz it up from your typical dry hand shandy. So he may have just been lubing up his ding dong and knocking one out. It may be as simple as that. He may like the food. We don't specifically know that he's cheated. There's no evidence that he's cheated, is
No, but
there?
come, all right. So say he hasn't cheated, but would you really think, oh, I just love my husband so much? He sits in his car, he lubes his willy up, he puts a condom on, and he wanks. I just love my husband so much. I
I mean,
mean,
Yeah, it's not the nicest thing, and the chances are he are cheating. But I'd just like to play devil's advocate that he might not be doing that. I wouldn't like to park next to him, but, do you know what I mean? You don't want to step out your car and walk into a pile of tissues, do you? He's not necessarily cheating.
Well, I mean, I would say she's clearly got inklings, right? There's something going on. Her gut is saying something, and she's found... It's pretty frigging obvious. If they're not using condoms themselves, and also... I'd like to think you'd know that your husband wanks, right? You know, if you're with someone not long, you suspect, or not suspect, you just know. They wank. Men wank, you know.
Sorry, just men, is it, Susie?
We're talking about men in this particular story. Yes. Yep. Here we go. Let myself up the garden path again.
I mean, look, I'd like to be fair. And I just don't know necessarily if that means he's cheating. I mean, chances are it is, but I just don't know if necessarily that means that he is. Some people just enjoy wanking into a condom.
Okay. So let's go back to our subject of sober dating. So Pete, you say that you went on a date with someone who wasn't drinking, and you decided to join them, do this for a amount of time? Was this just one day? What happened?
No, I was it was a good few years ago. I was seeing someone who had given up drinking and had given it up for a specific reason. When she told me, I mean, basically got there, you know, you're at the bar, babe, what do you want to drink? She sort of said, oh, I don't actually drink. And I went, what the fuck, what do you mean you don't drink? This is the worst person you come on a date with. And she was like, basically her dad had died to do with, like, basically he had really bad drinking problems, liver and all that. So she was like, I just gave up drinking. So then I didn't feel comfortable to go, oh, well, don't worry about that. Yeah. I'll have 10 tequilas, it's fine. I'll get you an orange juice. So I was like, oh, right, do you know what? Like, I won't drink today, but completely. And she was like, oh, no, you don't have to do that. But I just felt like that was the right thing to do. Anyway, right. I was seeing her for a couple of weeks and didn't drink. And it was absolutely fine because she was a really interesting, lovely girl. I do feel like drinking on dates is what a lot of people do because it settles the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's quite a common thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you just made quite a big point there, though. You said she was an interesting girl. So, you know, when you're maybe drinking and dating, we don't always... I mean, I've definitely done that. I've got three dates in and realised, I don't even know if this person, I'm interested in them, or I'm just so drunk, or their chat when they're drunk is brilliant, that this is why it's going well. But when you sort of step away from that, like usually date four, date five, you know, I'll do something, a sober date, and then I feel like I really get to learn that person. Why are you laughing? What are you laughing at?
I thought you were going to say something different then. I really get to learn that person. I was going to say, get four or five dates in, I'll do a sober date, and then it all collapses and falls apart.
Yeah, because I get sober. Yeah, they're like, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, and then weirdly enough, I never hear from them again. I just don't understand it.
Basically, that's what happens. I was just trying to blame it on them. But yeah, pretty much.
I just think, I mean, for me, I could happily do a sober date. I mean, I don't think I'm the most interesting person in the world, but it's not drink that gives me a personality, if that makes sense. I just enjoy drinking, and I drink every day. I mean, I shouldn't be saying that, but I do. So it doesn't matter to me whether I'm on a date or not. I just like to drink.
Yeah.
But I think I've got a lot of friends. You know, recently a friend of mine went on a date, and she doesn't normally drink. Rarely ever drinks. But every time she goes on a date, she drinks because it settles her nerves, and she just feels like she's less worried or anxious about how she's coming across because she just sort of goes with it. And I think that's the reason a lot of people do drink on dates.
Yeah.
And I don't see that as a bad thing unless you get fucking hammered, which again, a lot of people do. You have mentioned that before, that you used to have a tendency to just to get absolutely rat-assed on a date, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Why did you do that?
I mean, I've done it for so long now that, you know, it's a really good question.
Why did you do it? Because I've got a drink problem.
It's been a long time I've been doing this for. It was obviously to do with confidence. I guess I just thought that that's what you do. I mean, that was just the plan. We go to have a drink. And I know that my volume turns up in terms of like my level of energy when I've had a drink. So I would want them to see the best version of me. So instead of like maybe doing it the right way and, you know, giving you're giving yourself on a date, but like they can wait to see you drunk because that's more fun. Instead, I'd be like guns blazing, 8-9 hour dates, you know, we'd be raving. And then, you know, it's kind of like, where do you come back from there?
Do you, I think it really all depends on what you're like as a drunk and the difference between you sober and drunk. Does that make sense?
Because
I don't change. Whether I'm sober or drunk, I'm exactly the same. So I don't think it really matters whether I'm drinking or not drinking.
Yeah.
If someone's going to like me, they're going to like me regardless because I'm the same dickhead sober as what I am drunk. Whereas I know a lot of people can be really quiet, quite shy and whatever else, and then have a drink and suddenly, you know, this big personality comes out.
Yeah.
And I think deciphering what sort of person you are and how different you are to your true self is probably whether or not you should drink on a date.
Yeah.
Because
go on.
Because you don't want to, like you say, give the best version of yourself drunk and actually, you know, when you're sober, you're a fucking donut.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to be a really lovely person and go get hammered on a date and turn into a complete dickhead to the point they never want to see you again because they never got to see the person you are. So I think it all depends on how you handle your drink and how different you are sober to drunk. If there's a massive difference, then I would say be careful.
Yeah. I think that was just maturity though, isn't it? That's knowing, like, I mean, in my 20s, I did not know that. It was like, the harder you can go, the better you are. But now...
it's always better on a date to go as hard as you possibly can.
I mean, yeah, well, I can tell every day I go on is fun. But I will say my second dates, I always wonder how that is going to go because it's either like, shit, I've got to match up to like... I mean, I'm saying that now, it's not really now. This is sort of like 3-4 years ago. I would wonder how I'm going to match up to my first date because I'm a pretty good first date. But my second date, so I'm a bit shit because I just don't really... if it's too sober, I think, well, I've asked how many brothers and sisters you got and I don't know what to say.
See, I'm still a little bit surprised by that because you're one of the easiest to talk to people I've ever met.
Thanks.
Unless you're drunk every time I speak to you.
Well, this coffee, you know.
Yeah, you always seem to have a coffee.
With a dog on it.
That's a French bulldog as well. Do you know what? Again, we had Anna Williamson on about first impressions recently. And I think, again, it's about the first impression you give off. So it's all got to depend on what sort of drunk you are and working out what sort of drunk you are.
Yeah.
And if you don't change, then I think do what you want. If you are a massive difference, then I think your first meeting and your first date has got to be the better you.
Yeah, 100%.
You're sober sometimes or drunk, depending.
I agree with you. Should we get our pro on to talk to us about this?
Yes.
Emily. So Emily... lovely Emily Cyphers is a good friend of mine. She is the CEO of Sober and Social, which is a members club that you would go to if you wanted to be so sober or joining the sober crew.
One I'm not allowed to be a member of then.
He's not allowed to be a member. And she runs events throughout the year. I will let her do her own introduction. So Emily, welcome.
Hello.
Namaste, Emily.
Namaste, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Emily, you've got to do the bow with the namaste. Namaste.
And clap. Namaste.
Okay, I've done it. Is that almost as bad as not looking at someone when you tease them and you get bad sex? Is it that type of vibe?
Exactly.
It would, that's exactly what we're doing. So yeah, if you don't do it, it's terrible sex. It's what's happened to me. Cece's trying to get me out of that terrible sex situation.
We wanted to start with a quick fire round of questions for you, just to get you warmed up. Are you okay with that?
Okay.
We always like to warm up our guests before we really dive straight in there, you know what I mean?
Pete, you kick this off.
Okay, are you ready for this, babe?
I'm ready.
Date night in or date night out?
Date night out.
Kissing or cuddling?
Cuddling.
Giving or receiving gifts?
Receiving.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream partner.
Aww. Chat up line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point, no messing around.
Like it. And this is the big one, big spoon or little spoon?
Well, I'm only 4'10", so I've got to be little spoon. I don't have any choice.
Nice, I like it.
And I mean, I already know the answer to this. Single or taken?
Taken.
Yay!
And you said that really happily, which I love.
I mean, you know, it took 10 years. So I feel very, like, proud of my taken status.
So just to dive in with that, 10 years, why do you think it has taken you 10 years then? What has changed in your life?
I now no longer drink alcohol, and it was heavily induced in my dating life, I would say, and hence why it would go so tits up the whole time.
So, hold on. Are you saying that you're now, it took you 10 years, now you found the right person, and the majority of the reason of that is because you've stopped drinking?
I think so, yeah.
Is that what I need to do then?
Sorry to drop that bomb on you, but maybe.
Shit. Well. That's the one that I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. That's as far as, as Meatloaf said.
And why do you say that? I mean, what was, if you were to look at like drunk Emily on a date and then sober Emily on a date, what is the difference?
I think drunk Emily would not really be able to realise the red flags, wouldn't have as many boundaries in place on the dates, would perhaps overlook some kind of discrepancies because based on like how someone looks, and ultimately just really cared, were they good looking and were we going to drink loads of alcohol together? Whereas sober Emily really doesn't want any of those. Well, good looking is obviously lovely, but I wasn't that bothered where my next drink was coming from. I just generally cared about whether we had good conversation. And if something wasn't right for me, I had more confidence to say no and to leave the date, and just came to the conclusion, I'd just rather be at home with a cup of tea and a hot cross bun than go on a date with someone that's going to waste my time. Whereas I wouldn't think like that when I was drinking.
So do you think then when people have a drink, because you know when you have conversations with your friends, you know, guys do it, and I know women do it, and they talk about what they want out of a partner, and, you know, I'm looking for this and I'm looking for this, and you kind of start listing all these different things. I want someone that's good conversation, intelligent, this, that and the other. When you go on a date and you've had a drink, you kind of forget all that and think, do I fancy you? Do I want to fuck you, basically?
Yeah, I do think that goes out the window a bit more, if I'm honest. And I think with the alcohol, you kind of, you know, you get taken away by the situation, don't you? By the chemistry, the excitement, the, you know, you start looking into their eyes and they become very, very attractive. And, oh my God, let's go home together. But actually, when you're sober, it takes a lot to fancy someone being sober, actually. This is one of my main... kind of, you know, things from being sober that I found out is that it takes me a while to really fancy someone. Whereas when I was drunk, it seemed to happen really easily.
Also, when you go back to your friends or you're recounting a date to someone, how did the date go last night? What I always find, I drink quite a bit. Obviously, Cece knows that. I talk about it every week. But when you're trying to remember back about a date, you kind of don't really remember anything. Does that make sense? You kind of pick out on things. How was the date last night? Yeah, I really fancy you. I mean, it was a great chat. What did you talk about? Oh, fuck knows. I've got no idea. Like, you never really know what you've spoken about. So you kind of think you want to see that person again because you've got in your head, I fancy them and I had a good time because I went home happy. Mm. But what did I actually learn about the person?
This was my point about when I was just saying, Emily, before you came on, that how I would get absolutely plastered on my first dates and then second dates be like, shit, if we sober up, I don't know. Firstly, I don't know what we've talked about. So now I can't use the excuse of being drunk because now I'm sober. And I'd be in this kind of, am I boring state because I'm a bit more sober? Should we just repeat what we did on the first night and get absolutely smashed? But like you said about fancying someone, like it's so true, beer goggles. Like you go on a date, you know, you assess, like we did a show on first impressions, you know, you're assessing within those first 10, 15 seconds. And then with alcohol on top, I can fancy someone half an hour into it and go, yeah. And then I'm like, yeah, I'd definitely sleep with you. And then suddenly the night's going to get good because I've decided in my drunken state that I'm going to sleep with that person. Oh, gross.
And then also when you do meet them the next time, you're like, oh, I thought you were really funny the last time that we were out together, or we had really good conversation. And then you're sitting there and you're like, oh, we don't actually really have that much in common.
Yeah. So Emily, without you know, telling us to tell you all your shameful moments, if you gave up drinking,
please do.
Well, basically, what I'm getting at is here: have you had some really bad experiences on dates where you've been drunk or they've been drunk that made you think, do you know what, I want to give up drinking because that's the way I'm going to find the right partner? Have you got any stories that you can tell us?
I mean, I have many shameful stories that we won't share on
here today. Well, Cece shares every week, so...
It would take a whole week for us to get through them.
Welcome to the circle of trust.
I hear this every week.
However, what I would say is that through my sobriety, I always feel like I'm putting my best foot forward. Whereas when I was drunk, I would make decisions that weren't actually based on how I wanted to necessarily put myself forward to a date. E.g., I would tell them way too much information. I would go home and sleep with them. Or I would, you know, suggest that we go out and we like continue partying. Whereas actually, in reality, I don't want a relationship that starts on those things. I generally want to get to know someone, and I wasn't allowing myself that opportunity through being drunk.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been sober?
It was 3 years last week, actually.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That is a massive namaste. This is a different one for you.
Thanks, guys.
And how long did it take you from being sober to go on your first date sober?
Well, I was actually in a relationship when I first went sober. Well, I was seeing someone, shall we say.
And this person drank?
Yes, a lot of alcohol. And it did change our relationship, me going sober. But more than that, it was just we weren't in alignment with each other anymore. So that ended. And then I started my sober dating journey. And I have to be honest, I don't think I'd ever like really properly dated before, if I'm honest.
So before you went sober, you felt like that's when you properly started dating. Previous to that, it was kind of just like going out and getting pissed and fancying the person you're with rather than dating.
Yeah, or like a friend would introduce me to someone and we'd go out for a drink. It was never like I'd actively gone and met someone and we were going for a drink for the first time, for example.
So Cece and I were discussing just before you came on, and again, like sort of playing devil's, I like a drink, but I don't really change between being sober and drunk. I'm as much of a dickhead sober as what I am drunk. I said I've got friends who change an awful lot between sober and drunk. And some that can be quite shy sober and actually having a drink on a date, not getting absolutely hammered, but having a couple of drinks helps them because they feel more relaxed. So do you think everyone should be sober dating, or do you think it's dependent on the person and how you are as a drunk person? Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yeah. I do think it would be a good experiment for everyone to just do their first sober date. To do their first date sober, because actually what it does is it saves you so much time and energy, because you know whether you get on with someone straight away when you're sober, you know whether you fancy them, and you know whether you want to see them again, probably within, you know, I don't know, half an hour. So actually you save yourself that time of all these like false kind of like connections and chemistry and all of these things that really aren't there. So I do think it's better for people, and you can make better decisions for yourself. But ultimately, in terms of the confidence aspect of it, I think it's always the thought, isn't it? We always think that we're gonna like not maybe get on with someone, or maybe the conversation won't flow. But actually the reality of all of those situations, whether you're kind of drinking or not drinking, those fears are still the same. The only difference is, I would say, is that, you know, when you're sober, you generally can like settle into it, and it's always the first drink. Once you've got over that first drink, you're absolutely fine. You're almost like on the road then. But I think for anyone, it's always the, oh, I'll just have one, you know, or we'll just have that, the classic. And actually, if you look back on your dating, where does that one lead to?
Yeah, yeah. And what about in terms of, you know, you go on a couple of sober dates with people, you have a really good time, and then, you know, let's say you're a couple of dates in and then you both have a drink. what happens if that person's a really bad drunk and then you've wasted three sober dates on being a nice person and then found out that, because they say when you have a drink, it becomes like a truth serum and you're, you know, you relax. So you kind of be more yourself is what they say, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So what happens if someone is managing sober to contain themselves, give off this great impression and almost manipulate you into believing that you're a great person, then they have a couple of drinks and turn a complete wanker and you've wasted three dates?
It's a good question.
Well, you could have...
Thank you, Stacey.
That's okay.
It is a good question, to be fair. You could have it the other way around, though, where you meet someone and they're drunk on the first date, and then you meet them and they're sober and they're a complete dick, and you're like, oh, fucking hell, there's not even any way around this. At least if it's your way around, you can just be like, excuse me, you're a bit of a dick when you drink, can you just rein that in, because you're actually a nice person. So I think at least you've got to know them as who they are, and that is authentic to me, like, you know, putting your true self forward. Alcohol just, you know, isn't really us. It's, you know, a substance that we put in our body that makes our brain behave in like weird and sometimes wonderful ways. So if someone wins a dickhead when they're drunk, I'd just be like, well, you know, you're great sober, so if you could just rein it in, that'd be really lovely. If not, I'll just have to find someone that control their intake, I think.
If you're on a third date with someone and this is the third date, so date one, date two sober, date three drinking, we all know you never say to a drunk, you know, you're drunk. We all know you never say to a drunk, you're angry. You just don't say that because it's like, I'm not. So would you really say to someone like, you're being a bit of a dick, like, should we just, you know, drink tap water for the rest of the night? Would you really, or how would you feel if someone said that to you?
Probably not at the time. I wouldn't recommend
Wait until they're sober and nice again.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think when you're in that state, it's more of an afterthought, isn't it? As in, you know, communicate with them afterwards. But as we all know, when you've had a few bevvies, there's no coming back from your state that you're in when you're drunk. And if someone tells you not to do something, you're going to go bloody do it. I mean, I do that when I'm sober, let alone after a few drinks. So you just have to let the situation ride out, I think. You can also, if it's not working for you and they're drunk, you can just leave.
Am I right in thinking that the company that you've got organises events, like sober events and all that sort of stuff? Have you done any sober dating events?
I have done a sober dating event,
like a sober
actually.
Speed dating or something like that. Have you done things like that?
It was a sober bar crawl. You two, or Pete, you should come on the next Sober and Social bar crawl.
Yeah.
You like a challenge, don't you?
Do you know what? It always seems easy. I'd be well up for that. I'd 100% do it. As much as I'd like. Yeah, I'm there. But have you had feedback from people that have then dated sober and said, oh, what a completely different experience it's been? Does that make sense?
Yeah, they did. And what I actually really liked about my sober dating event was there was an even split of men and female, which helps, unless obviously it's a lesbian or gay affair, which it wasn't. It was a heterosexual dating event. But the people that came weren't necessarily sober full time. They just wanted to have a new experience.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, the part-time sober people. And they just wanted to have an experience of going on a sober date. And actually, what they said was, the conversation was a lot easier than they thought that it was. They managed to connect with people they thought on a deeper level, mm-hmm. and all the kind of fears and, you know, doubts that they had before going on a date. Because I don't know about you, I used to get absolutely trashed even before I got to the date. That they said it was actually quite nice, like turning up and, you know, being your best self almost. And I know that sounds really cheesy, but I do generally feel like that is what sobriety gives you on a date. And that's what they did find that.
Could I ask then, how do you get around, which is, I guess, quite common, is the judgment of it. So say you're on a dating app and, you know, you put that you're sober, or you don't drink. That immediately, to some people, would go, oh, does this person have a problem? You know, why are they sober? Mm-hmm. Or how do you get around that conversation for, say, someone that maybe is interested in going on sober dates?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think the biggest tip is just to be like really confident in your decision. Like, it's an amazing, powerful, brave decision to decide to go sober. So it's nothing to be like ashamed of around that. And I think the less of a deal that you can make it, the better. Like when I was on dating apps and someone would say, would you like to go for a drink? I would say, oh, that would be lovely, but mine will be a ginger ale. And just don't make a bigger deal of it than that. Mm-hmm. And also I would, if I wouldn't like discriminate if someone drank, like I'm absolutely fine with people drinking. It really, really doesn't bother me. But ultimately as well, like if it was something that they had an issue with, I'd actually be like quite grateful that I would know that. So I don't have to waste my time going on a date that someone that isn't ever going to be, you know, in alignment with my life choices. Cause I think as much as I appreciate someone might drink, I also would want someone to appreciate the fact that I'm sober. Mm-hmm.
Nice. So
what would you say are the three, if you can pick three, main benefits to sober dating as opposed to piss artist dating, which is what I'm going to name it? Or let's call it, what's the benefits to sober dating as opposed to peak dating?
Okay, are we ready?
Yes, I'm here for it.
Okay, you don't waste time, which I'm personally a massive fan of because my own time is very, very precious. Number two, you don't make a dick out of yourself and wake up with loads of regrets thinking, why did I do that? Or why did I get with them? They weren't even that attractive. Or I didn't find them. We didn't have a connection. And number three, save money. Think of all the money you would save if you went sober dating, Pete Wicks.
I would save a fucking fortune, babe. Yeah, do you know what? That's actually a really good, like the first two, they don't waste time. I think that's got to be the biggest one, isn't it? Because I do think that is probably one of the biggest cons of, let's say drunk dating or getting really pissed on a date, is that you cannot remember that person that well. And then you do have to see them again because you kind of think, well, I sort of know I fancy them, but I don't really know anything else about them. So, and you sometimes you do waste time. And that's why I've been on dates where I've maybe been out with someone 2-3 times before I've realised they're not for me, when actually it's something I probably could have done on the first date if I'd known what they were genuinely like.
Which is probably, if a guy was saying to me, you know, he wants to see me again, great. And then he wants to see me for a third time. For me, that third date's quite important because it's like, oh, he's keen. And if that third date was you going sober and deciding, actually, no, do you know what? I don't even like you. I by that point, the heart started to like, you know, fist pump a little bit. So as a woman, as me, as Cece. So by date three, I'm like, I like this person. You know, I've spent like 18, 19 hours with them. I like them. It's a deal breaker. And if they were to then say, you know, I don't want a fourth date, I'd think, oh my God, that. So I really, what you've said, Emily, about, you know, the time, it's so true. Because, and heartache, you're saving a little bit of, saving money and you're saving a little bit of heartache. Clearly, I'm just living a fairy tale world, don't I?
That's not something we've just learned, I'll be honest with you. Well, listen, I'm actually, like I said to Cece, I have done sober dates before, I have found it a lot easier to work out whether that person is actually interesting than not. And the reason that I did it was because they didn't drink. So out of respect, I didn't drink myself. And I thought, fuck me, this is going to be fucking horrendous. And I have had a horrendous sober date because there was just absolutely no chat coming back. But I have had a really good sober first date because I really got to know the person and I thought it was a great thing. So sober dating, I'm going to come to one of your events. I'm going to come to a sober bar crawl. And Cece, you're going to come with me?
I've been to one already. I went to one at the Box. This is the one with Fat Tony. It was amazing. It was absolutely, Emily, your event was sick as fuck. It was really, really good. So yes, Pete, let's do it. On it. With
the dating show on tour.
Oh God!
I can't wait to have you.
So Emily, sorry, go on, Pete.
Go on, babe.
I was gonna say, tell us just if you can in a nutshell, sober and social. What is it, and what do you do? What does Emily Cyphers do?
So Emily Cyphers has founded a sober community called Sober and Social.
Are you reading your own Wikipedia? So Emily Scythe is founded in 1991. I'm here for it. I like it.
You know, just trying to intro myself. You know?
It's great.
It's a sober community helping those who are leading or exploring a sober or sober curious lifestyle. And we do this through membership events and we have a podcast. And I also do sobriety empowerment coaching to help people live their most fabulous sober lives. That's me. Read it off the Wikipedia page.
When is your next event?
We're doing a picnic in Regent's Park, actually, on the 26th of June is our next event. But we've got lots of of exciting things in the pipeline, actually, including a lot of nightclub parties and different kind of like bar calls. So I'm quite excited for them. TBC on that, pending COVID, obviously.
And one of the most interesting things for me is, what is your sober drink of choice?
Oh, I like what do I like? There's so many. I like Wildlife Botanicals, which is an amazing, like, they're called Bubbles Benefits. If you like champagne, this is a great alternative. I'm really loving Lucky Saint AF beer. And one of my favourite spirits is Liars or Kalenio, if anyone is looking for some fabulous alternatives.
There we go.
None of the hangover.
There we go. Look at us just helping the shit out of people right now.
Emily, I want to play a game. Are you ready for a game?
This is... I do love a game.
It's a drinking game. No, it's not. Shut it.
So this game is, we would love you to tell us three stories or three statements, and we have to guess which one is the lie. Is that right? That's right.
This is now week nine.
Week nine, and I still can't get this right. But I love to pretend that I do.
I really enjoy it. It makes you seem very innocent and quite sweet, but a little bit stupid.
I'm just going to read the instructions, what I've been saying. So, yeah, three stories, and we get a question per story, okay?
Oh, God, okay. Oh, no. Right. I went on a TV dating show and got matching tattoos with my date. Actually, one time went to Dubai on a first date.
Hang on, is this... Hold on. So, what do you announce, Tori?
These are different ones.
She's doing it like Anna.
Go. Okay.
Is this too much? You want me to...
No. My little brain can't work this fast. Go.
Should I start again?
No, I heard the first one.
Matching tattoos on dating show. Second one, first date to Dubai.
Third one, I went on a date on a Tuesday night, and then I went on a date on a Wednesday night. But the Wednesday night's date was the Tuesday night's brother. And I didn't realise they're related.
Boom.
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 Okay. So we've got dating show tattoos, we've got buy dates, and we've got brothers.
Yeah.
Like it. Cece, questions?
So I'm going to be really, really honest here. I have a slight advantage because I know Emily.
I feel like, Pete, this one's just for you.
Yeah, I'm going to take myself out of the game.
What was the dating show?
Take Me Out.
Oh. And the second one, Dubai. How long have you been speaking to the person before you went on the first date?
A month.
Okay. And the third one is, did the brothers know they were both dating you?
No.
Okay.
You're very good at lying. She didn't even flinch. I can see her little face.
Okay, so what's the game again? Which one's the truth?
Oh, good. I'm glad you did that. Yeah, one trick.
What one's the lie? There's two truths, guys, and one lie. So just let you know.
I think the brothers is a lie.
Now you've said that, can I still play? Go on, what are you going to say, Pete?
If that is not the liar, then I fucking respect that hustle. But I reckon that brothers is a liar.
I love them all. I reckon the brothers is a lie.
The brothers are not the lie.
Dubai's the lie.
Dubai's the lie.
I've actually done something similar. I went to Rome on a first date with someone I'd speaking to for 3 days. So I rate that story.
Rate that story.
So Take Me Out, what tattoos did you get?
A double-ended arrow.
I'm glad you said arrow because I was worried for a minute.
No, nothing untoward.
Yeah, normally when things start with double-ended, CC, it worries me.
What was the meaning behind the double-ended arrow?
I don't think there really was one. We went to a tattoo shop and he was closing up soon and he said he needed to do something simple and that looked pretty simple, so that's the one we got.
Was that on the Isle of Fernando?
No, it was first series. They didn't have enough budget to take people away, unfortunately. Missed out there, didn't I?
As this is the dating show, I just want to find out a little bit more about this first date, take me out experience. Did you actually like the guy, or was it presumably because he picks you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So did you actually like him? Were you actually interested in him properly, or were you just playing the game for the dating show?
No, I didn't even really want to go on a date, if I'm honest. They put you up in a really nice 5-star hotel and gave you like M&S sandwiches for delivery every day. So I actually didn't.
So you were there for the sandwiches?
I was there for the sandwiches. I wasn't even bothered about the dates, if I'm honest. So yeah, I was just enjoying the free food.
I was there for the fucking bread.
And then someone actually, you know, came on the show that I thought, oh, yeah, you're quite good looking. I'd quite like, and, you know, had lovely charisma about him. And I thought, I'd like to go on a date with you. So I suppose I'll keep my light on.
Yes,
the brothers, at what point did you figure out that they were brothers?
Oh, God.
This was during my drinking days. This is maybe one of those shameful stories. When I ended up going back to the same flat twice.
Oh, Emily, I love you. I just love you so much.
I would just like to clarify, though, I did not sleep with both of them, okay? Because that was a step too far in my book. I just want to put some clarity around that in case anyone is wondering.
So you got back there and you were like, oh, shit, there's, hold on.
Yeah, I came back here last night. I obviously didn't tell him that. But the irony, the first brother that I went on a date with was actually out on a date.
Did he bring the date back?
No.
Oh, God, I would have asked. Can you imagine how brilliant that would be?
Wow.
And again, this is completely irrelevant, but why did you prefer one brother to the other?
I didn't really. They were both very good looking, I must say.
But you slept with one and not the other. And it was...
Because she's got morals.
Because you can't, you know... I'm all open for people's sex lives, okay? But I did not want to sleep with one
person... Keep it in the family.
Sleep with one person one night and then go and do it the next night with a brother when I realised the situation. It was all a step too far.
But
excellent.
I'm not trying to shame you here. I just love this story. But you obviously went back anyway, despite sleeping with a guy on the first night. And so were you potentially planning on sleeping with that guy if it hadn't been a brother?
No.
You'd just gone back for like a drink and you knew
yes.
you went. Okay,
yes.
Cool. Fine.
Yes.
I just wondered whether that was the... Yeah. Yes. Get
yes.
me the fuck off
shut
this show now. Get shut up. Sorry.
Thank you, Pete, for diving deeper into this.
Babe, listen, I do it every week to Cece. I just find it... I love hearing people's stories.
Oh, Emily, thank you so much. You have cracked me up, as always.
Thanks.
Pete, you've got any
having me.
Lasting words?
Sorry?
Got any lasting words that you'd like to share?
The lasting words I have is I cannot wait to come on a sober bar crawl with you.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for this, guys.
And
this...
unlike other people who normally apologise for their drunken behaviour, I'm going to apologise for my sober behaviour.
Is there music and stuff? Are you going to have like a ghetto blaster in the middle of the park? Don't judge
sorry,
me.
Sorry. Yeah,
yes, I do.
Where are we? Are we sober dating or are we on the picnic?
I don't think it matters where we are. I don't think anyone has... I don't think I've heard ghetto blaster for about 15 years. Cece, ghetto blaster? When we go on the bar crawl, is it going to be a disco?
If you pronounce your T's, you can get away with everything. Is it a ghetto blaster?
Yeah, for me, it's a ghetto blaster.
If you would like to bring one, of course you can.
Please don't encourage her to fight.
I would absolutely love you to bring your ghetto blaster to one of my events.
With a tape. Like an old school garage remix tape. I'm on it.
When you see me and Cece wandering across Regent's Park to the picnic with Walk This Way by Aerosmith banging out of the fucking ghetto blaster, don't worry, but do apologise to everyone else that's there.
Oh, God, I feel sorry for myself. Emily, thank you so much. As always, you've been amazing.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day and I will speak to you both soon.
Thank you so much. Absolutely loved it, babe.
Namaste.
Bye.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye. Oh, I'm sweating. Right.
Should we just say that is a good friend of yours, CC?
Yeah.
I've never spoken to her or obviously met her, but she seems lovely.
She's a good egg. She's a good egg. Yeah.
I really like her, and I'm excited to go sober bar crawling.
Yeah, I am too. After her last event, it honestly smashed it for me. I don't like dancing sober because I just feel a bit conscious, but every single person in the box was dancing, and I mean having it, and not ridiculous dance, you know, they were just like having a good time, and I felt drunk because of the atmosphere, but I there definitely wasn't.
You were drunk on life.
I was drunk on life, yeah.
Love that. I love that name. Right, shall we move on to
stories? Agony aunt. Is that
agony aunt? Cece, you just lifted up your iPad there and there's a post-it note on the back. What does the post-it note say for all
viewers
and myself?
That says, tuck slow.
So, tuck slow?
Yep. Tuck slow. You want an explanation or should we just leave it there?
I think we'll leave it there. So today's catchphrase for anyone listening is the dating show with Fubar Radio and it's CC and myself. Basically our catchphrase for the day is tuck slow.
You know, it probably actually says suck slow and I've just changed it because I'm embarrassed.
Does it say suck slow?
No, it doesn't. Let's just show everyone my terrible writing. It says...
Because I would love if you were that organised that you were leaving yourself tips on blowjobs on your laptop.
Yeah.
Suck slow.
1 second, babe. Suck slow. Yeah, good. I'm ready to carry on. Yeah.
Suck slow. Salt and pepper.
God. Every week.
Anyway. So suck slow, CC. Let's get on with it.
I feel confused. Right. go on.
No, I was going to say something completely unnecessarily and I should stop doing that.
So no, go on, go for it. No, you carry on. I'm ready for it this time. I've walked myself up the garden path. So you go on, I said drop me off. You know when you walk someone up the garden path and you just drop them off, like you just dig your own hole back. Yeah, go on.
Excellent. No, I think we should move on with the story. So this week, let's listen. What is it good for? Absolutely. We're singing again.
Go. I love it when you sing.
I don't think anyone else does this. Do you know what? I think in the figures, when as soon as we start singing is when everyone just dips off. So go. right, let's go. Stories.
Danny Smith in London. Tell us
Danny
your story.
Boy. Yeah, let's go.
Danny.
So I was on, like, I think maybe the fifth date with this guy. So we'd gone for dinner. And then he decides after the food's arrived that he needs the bathroom. So off he goes. And he was gone for so long to the point where the table to my right, they were having a discussion about whether I'd been stood up and whether I was then going to have to pay for all this food that we'd had delivered. Anyway, moments pass. He eventually comes back, puts his knife and fork together on his plate, which was full, and says, I've paid the bill, we need to leave. And I was shocked, but just went with it because I barely knew the guy. Got in a cab where he admits that on entry into the bathroom, some drunk teenager had decided to throw up all over him and his lovely suit, which has since been thrown away. Can't have been all bad because we're just buying a house together. So, but I did kiss him later that night and I still feel gross about it to this very day.
I am so happy that that went the way that it did and not the way that in my head I thought it was going.
I feel like I can't say anything because I've got so many other ways and things and reasons. But then because they're buying a house, it's like I feel like I can't shit on their house.
Well, no, I think that's actually quite a good story, quite a funny story. And I don't think there's anything bad with that story at all. I assumed it was going to go a completely different way. And I think at one point you probably assumed the same as me, because when me and Cece listen to these videos, we both kind of look away and then we both hear something and we both go...
And look up. Oh, dear.
I thought she was going to say that he'd shit himself.
Same.
And I'm so thankful that you didn't, because that's fucking vile. The fact that someone else just threw up on him, I don't think it's a big deal. He can't help that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, but you still, like, imagine if you smelt, like, sick and you're not going to want to eat your food, are you? So I think he probably did the best thing. Come back to the table. I paid the bill. I'm closing my knife and fork because I'm a gentleman. Let's go because I smell of sick.
I have to say, I mean, I'm... I would like to think I'm quite a placid guy. Everyone else would tell you I'm not. But if I was on a date and someone threw up all down me, I would lose my fucking shit.
As in not the date, as in someone else?
No, yeah, someone else, obviously. Because what a disaster. And it must have been going well. They bought a house together. So, you know that sinking feeling when you're like, yeah, is this really fucking happening to me?
Yeah.
Whilst someone's dinner is sort of dripping
down
to your shoes. Yeah.
Yep. I've met my dream woman and then some fucking idiot has thrown up on me.
Obviously our topic this week is dating drunk versus sober dating. Imagine, or has it happened to you, Cece, where either you or your date has got so pissed that they've thrown up?
Yeah. Should I tell you a really disgusting story?
Yes, you fucking should, Cece.
Because it was always...
This is what I live for.
Because it was a happy ending, actually. Same thing. So
was it?
Yeah, it was my first long-term boyfriend. We'd gone on our first date, and as per usual, I'd got absolutely smashed, you know, probably dancing, like, thinking it looked provocative. It was not.
Can you show us?
No. So this ridiculous dancing, anyway, somehow got me back to his house. I think we started kissing, but what I can tell you is this is gross. This is really exposing. Do I want to continue with this?
You've started, so you'll finish.
I might just ease off on all the details. So basically,
No. As I have said many times before, this is the circle of trust. It is just you and I and thousands of people listening.
It's all right. Well, what I will say then is that I was 18. So everything goes when you're 18. So I had basically woken up in the morning in a pile of my own sick on his bed. He was in the corner of the room. And I obviously, you know, I was that drunk. I couldn't figure out what was going on. So I'm like, why was my... everything sticky and why is my like everything stuck together? Couldn't figure out, realized I'd been sick. So I then started, this is disgusting, to scrape away the sick with my hand, thinking he won't notice. You know, it's dry. I know this is the point where I shouldn't have said, but fuck it, I've gone there now. Anyway, you know, we wake up and then he stood up and to go to the toilet and there was sick on the back of his t-shirt. So what happened is I'd fallen asleep on his back, thrown up on his back. He got up to go sleep on the floor and left me in his bed. I'm disgusting. But we were together for 5 years and he was the love of my life and I still love him today. I honestly, he is a brilliant human being. I have so much respect for him. He might not have for me.
I mean, I've got a lot of respect from him. So just to put that into perspective for everyone, Cece got hammered, went to bed with a guy. She then
didn't have sex because we couldn't even do that.
Thankfully, she then threw up all over his back. Rather than wake her up, he just got up and slept on the floor and let Cece roll about in her own sick for the rest of the night. She hadn't realised. Woke up in the morning and tried to scoop the sick off.
Yeah.
This is one of my favourite stories that you've told me, actually. Oh. You know, I absolutely love this one.
It's because we spent 5 beautiful years together that I can say it. If it was like
I don't know fucking how after that, but
I mean, listen, I set the bar. I was like, if this man loves me after this, we've got something good going. And he did. So, do you know what I'm saying? The bar was set. I was like, this is, you know, it gets low. This is me. I am a bit of a mess at times.
I mean, it's cliche when I say it, but from that date, the only way really is up.
Exactly.
Shall we move on to the...
Yeah, definitely.
...listener? This is not a story. This is advice needed. And this is, I think, this may be our first man who has called in. So this is Adam from Manchester.
He's probably regretting asking for advice after the stories that we've just shared, by the way. But yes, Adam, please.
Hello. So my question is about a relationship that I'm currently in. Me and my girlfriend celebrated our 2-year anniversary a few weeks back. But during the meal that we were having to celebrate, I saw that a guy that we both used to know sent her a topless picture of him flexing. I've always trusted her, wasn't too concerned about this, but a few weeks back I actually saw that she was still continuing to message him on Snapchat. This spiraled into an argument where, probably in the heat of the moment, I compared it to a girl sending me a topless photo and still continuing to speak to her and asked her how she would feel about that. I've never been a possessive boyfriend, and I really do want to respect her independence, but I can't help but feel hurt by her continuing to speak to him. My question is, am I within her rights to ask her to block him completely on all social media, or am I overreacting to a situation, especially when she's given me no previous indication of being unfaithful before?
Well, Cece, this... I feel like a perspective from Cece Coleman should come first on this one.
It's... Basically, it comes back to that same thing of communication. You know, it's obviously a big check-in is needed. Check in where you are at. You're coming up to 2 years, you know, that 2 year mark. Things happen depending on age. You know, if you're a bit older, you're going to want things to move faster. I think a massive talk, where are we at? And do we really make each other happy? Is there something missing in the relationship? Definitely block this fucking idiot. Like, just remove the problem for a start. Remove, block, delete. If you both need to agree to come off Instagram for a month or whatever, do that. But it's a check-in. You need a check-in.
I agree and disagree.
Go.
I completely agree. You need a check-in, and communication is super, super important. The blocking of the bloke, I think, is irrelevant, and I don't think you need to do that or should do that. I think it comes down to why she's entertaining it. He is not your problem. She is.
Yeah.
You can't control what he does. Blocking him doesn't do anything. That doesn't remove the problem if she wants to look elsewhere and wants to flirt with other people. Doesn't matter whether it's him or someone else. If she's got that in the back of her head that's what she wants to do, then there's something wrong with your relationship. Now, you don't know what these messages are about. I don't know if you've had the conversation, Adam, with her, but I would completely upfront say, what is this about? Mm. I think you're well within your rights to ask why a bloke's sending topless pictures to you and why she's continuing to message him. It may be fixable, but when someone's eye wanders, it's very hard to bring them back.
Mm.
It's very hard. You obviously know this person really well. If you feel like she's not telling the truth, mate, trust your gut. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's a powerful, powerful tool. It's like magic. If you can activate and know where that feeling, it is truth.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing, is whatever the situation is, you have to go into it understanding there might be things you're not going to like, and there might be things that you do like, but don't look for either of those things. Look for the truth. Because if you look for the outcome you want rather than getting the outcome you deserve, then you're not going to win anything.
Mm.
Because it would be nice to think, does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you've written a book, Pete. It is like you're reading out your book. It is spot on.
So yeah, listen, mate, I hope that helps, because that's a bit of a shitty situation, mate. But hopefully everything happens for a reason, my man.
Yeah, you will get whatever decision you make will be the right decision in this moment. Whatever it is, you know, you will make the right decision. Good luck.
I, again, Cece, have had a magical time with you. I always do. Your friend is beautiful and amazing. We like her.
Oh, that's lovely to hear, because I feel exactly the same way. She is wonderful.
We are going to have a elderflower spritz with her at one of the events. Guys, look out for that. Sober
and social, yes.
Look out for that. This week, Cece and I and FUBAR set up our own Instagram.
Yes, we did.
We now have an Instagram. So as you may have seen over the last 9 weeks, I think it's been, that we've been doing this show, Cece and I have been posting. We've had people send us directly messages on Instagram. FUBAR, I've had the same thing. We've now got a home for the dating show on Instagram, which is @thedating_show. That is where we want to hear all of your stories. That's where we want to hear feedback. That's where we want to hear everything. Talk to us on that platform. Yeah. And that is our home.
I feel very excited about this. I like that we've got our own little hub to get to go back to, and you know, we can connect with people on there. If you've got stories, like Pete just said, stories, send them in. Advice, like we just gave Adam.
Yes, and also, do you know what? Like I say, do you know what's really interesting is this is an open forum, isn't it, babe?
Mm-hmm.
And Cece and I, although we host this show, I also would like to hear if you disagree with our advice. Because this is just our opinions. We are not experts. We just have quite a lot of experience in this field. So if you disagree what we said, tell us why. Because we can all learn. Cece and I can learn.
Always open to learning. Always happy to hear other people's opinions. Love that.
Yes. So thedatin_show on Instagram. Hit us up.
Do you feel like every week we drag out the ending because we don't really want to go?
100%, babe. Do you know what it is? The show is sort of, what, an hour? And generally it's 15 minutes of content and 45 minutes of goodbyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think last week we started doing that thing that my mum does when she says goodbye. Goodbye, bye, 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 bye,
bye, bye, bye.
But yes, we will leave. Should we do it abruptly?
It makes me sad, but yeah, let's do it. No, let's namaste together.
That's what I was...
Oh, God, he's on it. Right, ready?
I'm on it. Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Namaste. No, okay. Okay. All right. Okay, I think we've got overexcited with namaste, and I think we should just stick to the single.
I literally can't do this.
Because what we've done is we've rated ourselves to be able to clap in time, and evidently it was a stretch too far for both Cece and I. So with lots of love, Cece Coleman and myself, toodaloo, and just a single namaste.